Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To Ladies Talking Leafs, I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
We're only a few days away from trade deadline day, and a lot is going on. Actually, while we do this podcast, a lot is going on. It's Sunday right now, and we're just getting ready for the Seattle game, where the Leafs are in Seattle, but there's still a lot going to happen. But it's kind of, for me, it's like why we're going to have a trade deadline day programming on Friday. It's going to be interesting on TV what the networks are going to have to talk about. But before we get into all that trade deadline stuff, we want to wish Brendan Shanahan's mom, Rosaline, a very happy 90th birthday. I thought that was cool on Friday night. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. It was her first game since Brendan Shanahan took over as Leafs president. I just thought it was fun, and it was great that they won the game for her too.
Absolutely. She looks fabulous for 90, I have to say, after being probably run down by four boys. That's not easy raising four boys like that. They're usually pretty high energy.
And from some of the stories I read, she was a pretty tough one too, on both her boys and on the other side too, on coaches that were coaching her boys. Basically, she had some words for them when they weren't on getting the ice time and stuff like that. But yeah, so a happy, little bit belated birthday, but still, we want to wish her the best to Granny Shanny. I like that.
And another big moment for the Shanahan family, it was 21 years ago on February 24th, 2002, at the Salt Lake City Olympics that Canada won the gold medal and ended a 50-year drought of not winning in the Olympics. And Brendan Shanahan was a big part of that team of stars, and it's a time that we'll never forget.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Actually, I was reading a couple of articles about it, refreshing my memory. And that's the one where Wayne Gretzky just went off because they started, obviously, the tournament. It wasn't great. It was they lost one, and then I think they tied as well. It was 1-1 and 1, or they lost in the shootout, maybe. And
then Curtis Joseph kind of.
Yes. That part
lost
of it
his
too.
Starting position. Pat Quinn was coaching. I remember that. And then they never kind of got that relationship back on track after that.
Yeah. And
Coach
then he
Quinn
ended
and,
up
Cujo.
Yeah. And then he ended up going to Detroit, getting traded from the Leafs or leaving for.
No, he was traded. He was a free agent. It was a free agent signing. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but then Wayne Gretzky went off on the media saying, trying to basically deflect the attention off of the team because they were all.
As you're saying that, I'm I can vividly see it all in my mind's eye.
Yeah. And then the other thing I remember too was that was the first time they put the little loony at center ice, the guy
that's right.
The ice. Yeah. They put the Canadian loony there. That was fun. Anyway, so those are a few moments, anyways, that I remember from that. And, we both remember, but and then still going with the international part of the game a little bit, the NHL, the last week or so, the NHL apparently is going to be taking the game over to Australia in next September. And supposedly the teams involved are going to be the Boston Bruins and the LA Kings.
How do they make these decisions?
I understand LA. I even understand Vancouver, let's just say, because they're on the West Coast. So that's fine. Mm-hmm. They're going towards Australia when you travel with the plane, you're going. But Boston? But
what I wonder, though, is that, you know, I would assume that, you know, the NHL has, you know, market research firms working on this. So should they not go with the teams that, you know, have the biggest, you know, kind of fan bases there? Wouldn't that make more sense?
Well, that's the thing, though. It's not just there, but it's like, how are the Leafs? I just don't understand why, like, they're never chosen for any of these. And meanwhile, we have the largest fan base. Like, if they want to draw people to the game, wouldn't it make sense to bring one of the most popular teams in the NHL to that place, like to promote it?
I guess maybe what they figure is that Leaf fans would go anyway. And so what they're banking on maybe is that the Leaf fans that live there or, you know,
It could be still
another
team
that has a large fan base, but because that's the one and only chance that they have of having NHL hockey, they'll still go regardless. No. And maybe, you know,
maybe
bring another friend to introduce them or something. I don't know. Yes. But
if it does happen and Brad Marchand is there, I'm basically just going to, if my relatives decide, I have relatives in Melbourne there. And if the game is in Melbourne, I think it's supposed to be in Melbourne, but
that's
if
what
it
I
is
heard.
There, I'm going to tell them basically if they decide to go, they can just go and boo Brad Marchand as well.
Make some signs.
Yes. Make some signs saying you're crap.
Yeah.
We don't like you over here in Australia. Go back. Go back home.
We don't like rats. We don't like invasive species here in Australia.
Yeah. So anyhow, we'll see what happens there.
Yeah. So before we get into the show proper, just a bit of a programming note for our listeners that after this episode, we're going to do a special post-trade deadline bonus episode on March 8th with our insider, Mike Ogiello. And then we're going to go on a really short little hiatus, and we will be back on April 5th. So be sure to hit that follow button wherever you listen to us, and that way you won't miss any of our shows. Of course, we will be keeping you up to date on social media, and our handle is at LTL1917. So you can always catch up with us there. So now let's get into things and get into some Leaf talk, and we're going to start that off with the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then we're going to run the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel. And in our third period segment, we're going to talk everything trade deadline. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
So the good, the bad, and the ugly. All right, off the top, we'll say there is no ugly again. So we're going, we got a pretty good streak going here without any ugly, so that's good. Mm-hmm. But what also is good, my good, is Mitch Marner. That guy is just, the whole season, he's been on fire. He's just been controlling the play. And when he talks about when the word buzzing is really, he's really buzzing right now. Mm-hmm. And he just, the game versus the Minnesota Wild, he was just all over the ice and controlling the play. He had that block shot that was amazing. And then versus the Sabres, he had the 5 assists in one in the game, which tied the Leaf record for most, which ties the Leaf record for most assists in a road game. So, so that was awesome. But yeah, he's just got it going right now. And I just hope that he keeps it going well into the playoffs. Cause we need him playing like that. And so that's my good. What about you?
Disagree with that. I mean, obviously Mitch has been on fire, and I think the main thing is he's definitely having a lot of fun this year. And we all know that when Mitch is having fun, he's usually having a game. So definitely. I'm excited to see what he does for the rest of the season.
Yeah, he's leading the team right now in points. And yeah, all those people that wanted to trade him once again earlier in the season, beginning of the year, they wanted to trade him for a bag of pucks. Where are they? Where are those people now?
It's kind of crickets. Crickets from those people now. Yeah. Anyway, so for me, my good is David Kampf. So I believe our last episode, we were talking about how, you know, he hasn't really been producing much offense and we haven't been getting a lot from the bottom six in that regard. And even though he's not really meant to score, like we do need to be, you know, putting up some producing some offense for us. Last year, he had kind of a breakout season that way, and he scored 11 goals. He ended up with 26 points overall, which more than doubled what he got in Chicago. This year has been a little quiet, and what we were discussing last time was that he hadn't scored since December 8th. And so now, in short order, after we have a little bit of fresh blood in the bottom six, not necessarily that it had anything to do with it, but, you know, when you add something to the mix, it does change the dynamic. So you can't rule that out. But anyways, lo and behold, in the last three games, he has now two goals. So he scored against Montreal and then also
with Minnesota
in Buffalo.
Buffalo or Minnesota? I thought you had the goal.
Sorry, Minnesota.
Yes, Minnesota. Yeah, because I was going to say that I hate it when they do this, though. Mind you, on Twitter, the Sportsnet stats, they said that Leafs are 9-0-0 at home since the start of last season when David Kampf scores a goal. And I'm like, and they say it as soon, like they tweet this out right after he scored the goal, like on Friday versus Minnesota Wild. And I'm like, why would you do that? I'm like, right, like, but I'm like, well, the streak is still going, so that's good. Maybe hopefully that continues into the playoffs. We need him to score in the playoffs and keep that at home to keep that streak going too.
He had 11. He had 11 goals last year, and now he's up to six. So, you know, if he keeps putting it together like this, and I mean, we still don't know what they have left to do for trade deadline. You know, if they add something to the bottom six still, who knows? But yeah, anyways, it was good to see him get on the board again. And like, lo and behold, he has 3 points now.
Yeah, and I was actually
goals and assist.
I was interested just because we know we're playing Tampa, obviously in the playoffs, and I was just I went on the Tampa's Twitter there, and I was looking at their third line, matching it up with our third line, and like it's really when it comes to size and like it's not like their line basically their third line is Ross Colton, who's 6 foot, 194 pounds. Nick Paul is 6'3", 223 pounds. So he's the biggest of the centermen. And then Vladislav Namestnikov is 6 foot, 179. And we have Engvall, who's 6'4", 198. Kampf is 6'2", 197 pounds. And Yarncroke is the fresh blood that you were talking about because he moved off of the Tavares line down to play with Kampf and Engvall. And he's 6 foot, 192 pounds. So when you're comparing the lines, I'm like, it's just the fact that obviously Namestnikov, I think, well, even Colton, all three of those guys end up getting that all-important goal in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And that's where our three guys, Engvall, Kampf, and Yarncroke, especially Yarncroke, we've said it from the beginning of the season, he's supposed to have a big shot, like a pretty good one. So we need Kampf and the line mates. It would be nice if the baby giraffe there would also contribute a little bit more. If any of our listeners out there know that we won't say who the baby giraffe is, they should know. But we need size wise, I think they match up well, and we just need them to produce on that.
Well,
third
it's
line.
A question. I think it's the intensity factor. Yes, because for example, I remember Colton last year in that first round, you know, he was, whenever he was interviewed post-game or whatever, especially after the losses, like, there was, he was pretty intense guy, you know, the way he spoke. You know,
yeah, we need that intensity.
We need to match that intensity.
Yeah.
On the ice. Yeah. And maybe, like you were saying, though, like the fact that, you know, Yarncroak has been having to play farther up the lineup. And yes, can he play up there? Sure, he can. But is he the most effective there? Probably not. So if he's playing in the third line, that's probably where he is going to pay the most dividends and help out a guy like Kempf.
Mm-hmm. All right. So going on to the bad. The bad I have as the goaltending situation. Once again, unfortunately, this seems to come up quite often. And it's nothing against Ilya Samsonov. He's, or Joseph Wall, actually, who's played a couple of games for us, too, coming up from the Marlies. Samsonov's only blip, I guess, that I felt was during the third period versus the Sabres, where he let in a couple of goals that he probably should have had to make it make the score a little bit the way it should have been, instead of making it close there.
Was that his first one back after he was sick?
Yes. No, yeah, that was his second one, because he lost to it was Chicago that they put him in. He shouldn't have played that game in Chicago.
No, not at all. But I mean, even with the Buffalo game, like honestly, like if he had a stomach bug, which, you know, that's basically what they said he had. I've had that go through my household. It takes a little while when you've gone through that and you're really dehydrated to get your energy back. So.
Yeah,
honestly, I think, you know, he played probably because he had to, but.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
maybe
nothing.
Still wasn't 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's played 30 games. He's 20, Samsonov has, and 21-7-2. He's had a really good record. But my issue, again, of course, we haven't mentioned the name yet, is Matt Murray. It's just beyond me, like. It's kind of a strange situation because the way they're saying at practice, like he's practicing fine, like shifting across the crease fine, like where you would use your ankles a lot. Like he looks fine out there in practice. And I don't know, but he can't play apparently. And he hasn't played since January 17th versus the Panthers. So that's well over a month now. And I'm just thinking he's apparently going, I guess he's supposed to come off of the LTIR. He can actually come in to play versus the Oilers. He's on the road trip this week, on the West Coast road trip. So he could technically play, but I don't know. you're kind of nervous feeling that going down the stretch, like how is it going to be for him? Like if he's, I don't know, if he's not feeling right, or is he feeling right? I don't know. And then I kind of think that Dubas maybe they're holding him out so that he can really be fresh for the playoffs. Like, and
well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, that seems to be like the only thing that kind of makes sense. Like, is this like a load management type of thing? However, are you not playing with fire with that though? Like, like you kind of like while he all this time that he's out. The rest of the league and his teammates also, everyone's ramping up. I mean, that's the stage we're in, is that it's like a slow build to the playoffs, but it's all going to ramp up and he's going to be coming in not having that, you know, gradual.
Yeah.
You know,
he's basically being put into the fire right away. And I mean, not to say that he's lying, basically, that he's like not injured, but I don't know. It's a really a tough situation. He's played 19 games so far. Like his record, like back in November when he came back from the abductor injury or whatever he had back then, like he played really well. He's 11-5-2 in 19 games he's played, but this was supposed to be a tandem. And that's the worry as well with, I mean, thankfully, Samsonov, it was only, I shouldn't say only, but it was only a stomach bug. But like, knock on wood, you don't want it was supposed to be a tandem, and you don't want Samsonov getting injured, and then we're really screwed, basically, because of this situation with Murray being out and not having much to play, but or not having much time to play. But
well, and the other thing with that, with a tandem situation, then, you know, ideally, then you want to be giving each guy, you know, games, kind of alternating between them. And then you potentially could get into a situation where now you're like kind of forced to give Murray, you know, a few starts, you know, all in a row. And then Samsonov is not necessarily going to play for a bit, potentially, just to be able to get him, you know, enough repetition, you know? So I don't know. They're kind of playing with fire a little bit with this, but
for such an important position.
I just hope that there's something about him and the situation that they know that we don't, you know, that they must know something about him that we don't. And maybe this is the best thing for him.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What's your bad?
Well, my bad, actually, we could say maybe call it sad, is losing Jake Muzzin. So we had the report come out from his reassessment this week that he has been ruled out for the rest of the season, which I think, you know, no one's really shocked about that. And I think we all kind of knew that it was coming. However, we are really going to miss him. The one thing that's great is that he has been still around the team consistently. And I think that is good. Obviously he's loved in the room, and that's a big part of the reason why we need him. So if he's still going to be able to be around the team and in the room, that will be great. But, you know, he's definitely something that he's got the intangibles that we really, really miss, especially come playoff time.
Yeah.
And he's always been such an important playoff contributor. So I think that they kind of addressed that a little bit by bringing in O'Reilly and a guy like Achari, because they kind of add a little bit of that into the mix. Yeah. But it's unfortunate that you know, we're going to be without him for the rest of the season in the playoffs.
Yeah. And when you say, like, it's good that he's around the team, it is good. But I saw the picture of him, like, in the, I guess, at the Ford Performance Center
when they were
practicing.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you kind of feel sad, like you said, for the guy.
That's why I said it's not the good, it's the good, the sad, and the ugly today.
Yeah, because he's the... Because he's standing there, he wants to be out there, right?
Yeah,
and it must be horrible for an athlete like that to be in that position. But I mean, it's obviously more important for his health and the family, his family, and that to, who knows? Hopefully next year, maybe things, like over the summer, maybe things will improve for him and he'll be able to get back on the ice.
He's ready, he needs to call Gary Roberts.
Yes, true.
Because if anyone can help him come back from this type of injury, you know, Gary Roberts, his career was pretty much done. He basically rehabbed himself, completely transformed everything about the way he did things, and was able to play like at least another 10 years in good health, and was very resilient after that. So, you know, all is probably not lost, but you know, anyway, it is, it is sad though for the time being.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's move off of this sadness and let's get into some more exciting talk.
That's right.
Let's roll our Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel.
All right. So coming in at number three, we have Mark Giordano, who tied Chris Russell, former teammate, for the NHL record for most shots blocked with 2,044. Hopefully tonight against another one of his old teams, he will get the record. But yes, so the NHL actually only started tracking this particular stat in 2005. So they haven't been tracking it for that long. So really, this is even without his first full season in the league is not even counted in this. So that is pretty awesome. And talking about another veteran who provides, you know, these intangibles, he's definitely one of those guys.
His value for the 800,000 cap hit. Oh my God, the value that he's brought. Like it's well beyond that. And I couldn't believe that I don't know how they would track something like this. Like I'm wondering, like hopefully, I mean, obviously they have somebody just looking at it and you just base it on their opinion as to when he blocked the shot. But I found it funny too. It's not funny, but he said the hardest shot that he ever blocked with somebody that shot it at his head or something. He didn't mean to stop it with his head, but or side of his face. And I was like, yeah, I would think that would be a tough one. But Gio is playing great for us. And yeah, he should get the record tonight versus Seattle. So, so that'll be exciting to see. And who was it? I think it was, I don't know if it was Mitch or if it was Willie. One of them anyway said that they would get it was Riley. I think it was Morgan Riley. He said that they would get a golden shin pad golden or shin something. Pad.
Yeah. Loved how they were like filming the shin pad constantly. Yes. They were showing it throughout that whole game, all the nicks and divots and stuff in it. Anyways, it was kind of funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So moving on to number two. He could be number one as well, but it's William Nylander, Willie Styles, or as our insider, Mike Ajello, likes to call him, Dr. Nylander, scoring another beautiful goal, OT winner versus the Minnesota Wild. He stripped the puck from the Minnesota player, and then I love when he cuts in like that. It cuts in front of the net, and he holds off the defensive player and then snaps the shot past Minnesota goaltender Filip Gustavsson. Like, that was just... I don't know.
Well, and the other part that a lot of people don't mention is on the start of that play, he won the faceoff totally clean. Yeah. It was basically that started it all. And that was an incredible play. And it was so exciting. It would have been nice to be there in the crowd to watch that one for sure. I'm sure everybody was on their feet because you could definitely feel the build on that one for sure.
Yeah, and that was his third OT winner of the season. One behind Matt Sundin.
I was
for
just
going to
say,
OT goals.
What is it about the Swedes on our team? They seem to be really good at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and speaking of Swedes, I do believe that he's having this type of season in honor of Boreas Alming, another Swedish player, but I just think that he's taking it to another level for him. He's definitely doing
draw your inspiration, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And he's one goal away. We were talking before we came on the show here. He's one goal away from tying his career high 34 goals. So could he hit 50? That's what we were saying with Sill. You never know.
That's right.
Yeah.
Time will tell. And it will be an exciting closeout for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on to our number one spot, we have a newcomer to our list. and that would be Ryan O'Reilly. And of course, he's new because he's new to our team. And he had the hat trick versus his old team, Buffalo. Two goals in 37 seconds and then an empty netter as he was kind of flying. for the hat trick. And it was so cool to see the hats on the ice in an opposition rink.
Especially Buffalo.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was funny because, again, our insider, Mike, he was on Twitter. He was like, we tweeted out something to say, like, Leaf fans should be like really excited there and everything. And Mike is like, shh, wait, it's like, the game's not over yet. And I'm like, oh yeah, no, I know. Cause we don't really have a great record playing in Buffalo, but
full disclosure. Yeah. When it was 5-1, I think I said out loud, wow, we normally don't really win these games in Buffalo. And then goal, goal. And I was like, oh my God. I said to my husband, don't you dare tell Christine that I said this. Because if we lose this game, I'm in major trouble. So, so we managed to hang on, but wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess when it comes to O'Reilly, it only took him 3 games as a Leaf to get his first hat trick. And he's mm-hmm. the 9th player in franchise history to do this in the first 3 games of being a Leaf. So, it was just a great night for him. And we couldn't be more happier to have him. That's for sure. Him and Noel Achari have made a big contribution to the team so far. So.
Absolutely. And as this is our first show since the big trade that brought Ryan O'Reilly and Noel Achari to the Leafs, we're now going to talk all about this and other trade deadline related news in our third period segment.
Yeah. So for the third period, I guess it's all about the trade deadline right now. And it was funny, the Friday night, it was just before the Montreal, I guess they were going to be playing the Habs in Montreal. And, it was here. I'm mm-hmm. getting confused. We were there for his first game, but the Friday mm-hmm. night before that game around 11 p.m., I was ready for bed when Leaf Twitter basically went crazy. I was like, oh my God. I'm like, Kyle Dubas is doing this right, right when I was getting ready for bed. But anyways, we were right about the one player that was dealt from the Leafs. It's kind of funny, like, because in our last show, we were talking about how we didn't think Dubas was going to make the deal for the UFA and like has to have somebody with term. And that's what most people mm-hmm. have been saying. But so we were wrong on that. But I guess we were right. We knew that Mikhail Abramov was one of the players in the Marlies players that was going back to St. Louis. It was quite exciting how it went over. And I just loved, I'm going to read this from Ryan O'Reilly, what he said on becoming a Leaf. I'm just going to get it here. I looked at it and I was like, he was asked basically what he remembers the most about his first game being a Leaf. And he's like, that start. Starting here was special. You feel the energy in the building. There's a reason it's the Mecca of hockey, that energy that surrounds it. It's something you don't get, something that you don't get many other places. So I was actually kind of surprised. Both him and Noel Achari said that our building is quite loud. Whether or not they're telling the truth, but as a visitor, they both said that they, meanwhile, most people say that we're quiet, Scotiabank Arena.
You know what? I think it depends on where you are. Probably when you're on the ice, maybe the way it is like all of the sound focuses in on them, but in the stands, like often it doesn't sound very loud. And I think it does matter where you're sitting as far as how loud things are in there, just the way it's constructed, especially in the kind of the upper bowl. It's not as much of an open bowl like in some other places like Chicago or Tampa, where like all of the sound is focused in the ceiling and just kind of comes, basically it's oppressive and comes crashing down on you. We don't kind of have that same sort of acoustic setup, I guess. But I think that some of it is not necessarily sound, but an energy. So like, I think that's something that people discount that just because, you know, we as Leaf fans in the stands are maybe not as vocal, that doesn't mean that the energy, like we're always totally, you know, engrossed sucked into Saturday the game.
Night. Yeah, it was Saturday night. Mm-hmm. It was versus the Habs. And yeah, that energy, like you're saying, it's there at Scotiabank Arena. We bring it definitely.
For sure. You can feel it.
Yeah. And I thought it was, with the trade itself, I thought it was interesting too that this is the third consecutive year that Kyle Dubas basically and the Leafs have acquired a captain of an existing team before the deadline. So like they got Foligno, they got Giordano, and now they got O'Reilly, all former captains at the trade deadline. One of them didn't work out, the first one there. But these last two, I think, well, so far has been paying off very well with the Well, definitely with Giordano and so far with O'Reilly. And then another thing that I thought of, or that I read too, I thought it was funny. Michael Bunting and O'Reilly went to the same high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know that he has Scarborough roots?
No, I didn't. I was like, wow. And then, and O'Reilly's aunt was Michael Bunting's teacher.
Mm-hmm.
In
his gym teacher.
His gym teacher is playing volleyball or something.
And volleyball
like that.
Coach.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I thought that was kind of cool to have that little connection. But yeah, what do you think of the deal anyways, besides,
I
guess we should talk about Achari as well. A little
yeah,
bit.
I actually think that the Achari piece is definitely adds something to the bottom six for sure. Like one thing I noticed about both of them is they come to play. They are quite intense. Like even in the last game we had, I think O'Reilly missed a goal and he slammed his stick into the boards and he was like so pissed off about that. And yeah. I'm like, that's going to be a great example. And I think Achari is that kind of guy too, that he's maybe something like that we haven't had since Hyman left, you know, a guy yes. that is yeah. always working. Yeah. You know, like people try to like, they want to compare Michael Bunting to Hyman as the replacement. So in a way, points wise and stuff, maybe he's that. But as far as the type of player he is, I see Noel Achari more kind of like that. You know, like he's always working, he's always blocking the shot, he's always. Yeah. So they have this intensity about them that I think is gonna be huge.
Yeah, and Achari too.
Game in, game out. You know?
Yeah, and Achari too, when we were talking before about everything shifting down the lineup. So now he plays mm-hmm. center on the fourth line. I actually think, like, I've noticed Zach Aston-Reese a lot more mm-hmm. playing a lot better since Achari's gotten inserted there as the fourth line center.
I have to agree with that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. At least I've noticed him sort of thing. Somehow he's stood out a little bit more anyways. And I think it's because Noel Achari, like you're saying, it brings that energy. He brings it every night. And he also, one thing that was interesting, I saw a stat after the game versus the Habs, he was first on the Leafs in hits with 168. Hits like from the season. I thought, okay, like that's quite interesting to have like the guy play his first game and he's already leading somewhere in the team with that stat. And mm-hmm. And then the other thing I thought was funny was that did you hear about the wax on the stick, the conversation?
Yes. I saw that. But which doesn't surprise me because that Matthews would notice that because he's like such a stick nerd. So, of course, like he's checking out the stick and everything. But I thought it was funny what he said, that he needs all the help that he can get. And Matthews doesn't need that extra help.
Yeah.
to keep it on his stick.
Yeah.
But one thing I would also say is that, like you were saying, is that, getting both of these guys, it immediately brought more balance to our team because now their people are now able to play where they should be playing instead of having to fill up a higher slot or a lower slot. Like even for camp, you know, the fact that now like third line center, that's where he should be.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to play, go up and down between third and fourth or whatever. And, I think that that's what it does is it allows everybody or more so than before players to be able to slot in where they can be most successful as opposed to playing out of their role a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I don't know. I think I don't know what else we need up front. I don't know if they're going to look for another forward, but go ahead.
So speaking of what the needs might be.
Yeah.
So according to Cap Friendly, the Leafs have $4.4 million available in cap space still. But we are at the roster limit of 23 players. So recently, Joey Anderson cleared waivers. Jordy Ben was also put on waivers, and we and discussed he did clear, yeah. right? Yeah. So that helps to free up some roster spots. So now we're left with the question. So what do you think Kyle Dubas is still going to do going forward?
It's interesting because it's really all about beating Tampa right now. We need to beat them, right? So mm-hmm. I don't think he's taken the mentality like waiting for, because Tampa's basically done nothing so far. And I know that they've, all the other teams like Boston, they made their big deal, Orloff and Hathaway from the Capitals they got. But I don't think we need to worry about Boston. We need to worry about Tampa. And I think maybe getting something on D if we can on defense, like getting some sort of, I guess, a little bit more grit on that side, a heavy D man. But I don't know. Because if you look at like Sandin is supposed to come back tonight and because he does have an edge to him, but he's still growing, I think, a little bit too. Like, I think that's why he ended up getting hit by somebody. I forget which game it was. And that's why he missed the last couple of games. So I think he still needs to build up some muscle basically in order to play that kind of game to have a little bit of edge in it. But I think personally, Kyle Dubas, I don't know if it's going to be like a Luke Shen, but that's what everybody's saying. But I think we need somebody a little bit younger if we could get somebody. But I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think that on defense is probably what we still could use a little bit of help with. Whoever is available at this point, but Luke Shen, you know, he did add something to Tampa's roster last year, you know, in the playoffs. And that's what I guess they're looking for. It's like not to just necessarily fill a hole, but be able to add something so that the players that we do have that are good, just like they've done up front, don't have to play outside of themselves. They can play their game and they're not trying to play outside their role. So if we get somebody like that who helped another team get pretty far last year, then like it could help our younger players not have to do those things.
And actually what you're saying too, yes, Luke Shen did help Tampa. And if we could take him away from, because I can see that happening where Tampa might be eyeing him to go
get
back
him
there.
Again. Yeah, I heard that
so
too.
So if we can stop that and actually have him come back here, right, to where it all began for him.
They go back to Luke's troops again for that segment?
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
That's what started it all.
Yeah. But I don't know. So there is hit Luke Shen, and I don't know. There, it's gone kind of quiet with Jake McCabe there, that possibility with Chicago that we were talking about with Mike Jello, our insider. And there hasn't really been any other, I don't know, any other D-men, like to say, I guess Jacob Chychrun, but I don't think
he's always a possibility. Yeah,
I don't think that's a possibility.
What the heck is Arizona doing?
I know. There? Yeah. Or what's
because
this?
That there's so many things wrong with that. I can't even begin. Yeah. You know, it's bad for everybody. Bad for the player too. And he's not a person who is not injury prone. So now you're sitting him out, and by all accounts, it's a mutual thing, they said. But he's sitting out, and like we were talking about, players are ramping up, and now he's going to be coming in. It's like almost coming back after an injury. And, you know, who's to say that he might not get hurt?
Yeah. And what is this sitting out of players now all of a sudden for trade-related reasons? Meanwhile, there's no trade in imminent.
I know. they should make a rule. For that, that you can't do that unless there's something, you know, within a 24 to 48 hour window.
Yeah. Yeah. I know for sure. So, there is Jacob Chychrun, but I don't think we, like, for what they're asking, apparently. I don't know the full details, but apparently it's over the top. So I don't think Kyle Dubas is going to go with that. I actually like Kyle Dubas's move to say that he's obviously we're not going to have a lot of draft picks left in the next couple of years, let's just say. But the fact that he's keeping the draft picks that he had, the players that he knows that he's picked through the draft that aren't currently playing, like Fraser Minton, Matthew Nyes, he's keeping those guys because he knows them and the Leafs have been working with them. They're in the system and you don't know what these other draft picks are, what they're going to end up being. So unless you're in the Connor Bedard sweepstakes, which we're not, obviously. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens this week. And then we'll be back at it next week with Mike talking about what Kyle Dubas did besides this big move with O'Reilly and Achari. But
one guy that's still kind of out there is that Gavrikov. He's still available.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah, that's so another one with the trade related reasons.
Yeah. And now that and I had heard that Boston was sort of looking at him too. So now that they've sort of taken care of what they want there on D, I doubt he'll go there. So
and he doesn't want to sign. He doesn't want to sign here, though. He's already he said that he wouldn't. Well, this is a couple of weeks ago. I think he said Gavrikov said that he wouldn't sign with a Canadian team beyond like this season. So there's no point, in my opinion, to give up the assets.
I don't see that Dubas would go get like yet another rental. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah. But right now the Leafs are in the midst of a 5-game road trip, and are out west playing Seattle tonight on the Sunday and playing Edmonton Tuesday, then Calgary on Thursday and Vancouver on Saturday night. And then they're off. They're actually off on Friday on deadline day. So, yeah.
That makes it easy for whoever has to move, I suppose.
If there is someone, yeah.
And then the next week, they only have 2 games. They play the New Jersey Devils with their new acquisition, Timo Meier, in New Jersey. And then the Oilers are here at Scotiabank Arena on the 11th of March. So that's a Hockey Night in Canada matchup.
Yeah. And I guess those games versus the Oilers obviously are always the highlight when it comes to McDavid versus Matthews. And obviously we have Zach Hyman there, former Leaf, and obviously Jack Campbell as well, who's not doing so great. He was playing okay, but he's not doing so great the last game or two. So return of Superman to Toronto. So, and we also, I wonder if they'll start him at least one of those games. You would think that Jay Woodcroft, I think, is their coach there in Edmonton, that they would start Jack Campbell for one of the games. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. And I guess that New Jersey game, like you're saying, the Timo Meier trade just happened. So that's quite interesting that they would, I don't know what was going the other way, mind you, but like from New Jersey, they had to give up quite a bit. But
I actually haven't seen that yet, what they gave up.
But it'll be good to see him on the, I guess, Devils have been an impressive team.
Fit, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for the Devils. So it's they have to ramp up anyways if they're going to play the Rangers, possibly, right? They're right there in that spot. So and the Rangers are loading up. Who knows? They got, I was going to say Patty Kane, but that's maybe in the works. But they got Tarasenko, obviously. So, yeah, it's going to be another exciting couple of weeks anyways to see what the what brings all the changes to the different teams. So as we mentioned at the start of the show, our schedule is going to be different over the next month. So be sure to follow us, hit that follow button on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us, and you won't miss the show. Also, we'll be keeping up to date also follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Our handle is at LTL1917, and that's where we will keep you up to date on everything Leafs. And a reminder, too, to please leave us a rating or a review and let us know what you think of the show. It's easy on Apple and Spotify, and it's important for our show to get more exposure as a source for Leaf content. And we thank you for taking the time.
And also, don't forget to check out our YouTube channel, Tongue Twister, at LTL1917 also, where we post videos from games we've attended. We've got a lot of good, interesting little shorts there. So you can always check that out as well. And also, consider visiting our Ko-fi page as well at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can support us by buying us a coffee. So any donation you make towards our show helps us produce it and makes it even better for you. So if you can find the link to our Ko-fi page on any of our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
So, we want to, as always, thank our healthcare workers and first responders for everything that they do.
And thanks always to you as well for listening. So until next time, go Leafs go.
Go Leafs go.
Do you believe?
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.